This is the second drasha. Starts off with pasuk in Malachi. Okay, starts off with this pasuk. Rahavti Yeshchem Omar Hashem. Vamartam Vamoah Tanu. Hallo Och Esav Liyakov Num Hashem. Va'oavis Yaakov. Ves Esav Sanesi. Wasam Esav Shumomo Ves Nachaloso Lisanos Midbar. Okay, so the pasuk is talking about the love of Hashem for Yisrael, and in the pasuk it mentions that there's Yaakov and there's Esav. Esav is the brother of Yaakov, and Hashem loves Yaakov and hates Esav. Okay, so that's the theme of his, that's what he wants to explore. Why does it have to be a relationship like that? Why does it have to be, what's the idea of Esav and Yaakov? And one is loved and one is hated. One is on the top and one is on the bottom. Okay? So he says like this. He says, Pshat HaPosuk Mara, he says, the plain Pshat HaPosuk shows, Ki Avas Hashem Osanu, Tivoda mitzad mashal Esav shovel Yaakov b'achva. So he says that the ava that Hashem has for us is known from the fact that that Esav and Yaakov were together in the brotherhood. And because they were brothers, really they should have shared in the nachla. Right, v'lo niyeh came. Ovalov es Yaakov lios mivureches mivureches Hashem artzov v'nachlo Esav nachla mivuheles. But that's not the way it is. Rather Hashem loves Yaakov for his land to be blessed, and the nachla of Esav is destroyed. So he says v'zeh matmiyah. This is strange. So he says, Ki ein chok Hashem v'chok ha'av. He says, the law of Hashem is not like the law of a father. Hamanchil es ben mavishu machfir b'soch ochem yachlog nachla. In other words, it's not like a nachla. That the nachla has to get split up among the brothers. Not like they were two brothers, now they have to split up a nachla. Avachukol hanchil ov av yesh, umakol ov yikoris me'ayin, panos oshar besorim, ki achosam v'korvosam lomolo. In other words, what's the idea of having brothers? What's the idea of the brothers, and they both get a nachla, and saying that Yaakov gets the good nachla, and Esav gets the bad nachla? What's the idea of a nachla by Hashem? Just not the type of a situation where a father has a son and he has to split it up. Okay, so he's trying to understand the idea of why is Klal Yisrael's identity tied in some way with to related in some way to Esav. All right, but I don't want to go through all of this. He has his way over here. But that's his question. That's his question. But let me just see one more thing of you. Yeah. All right, here's a certain idea here that because Esav is different than all the other Umos. Esav is different than the other nations. Not just like any other nation. That's not Klal Yisrael. from the fact that they were together and they were brothers, and they both were in the position of Ben Avram and Yitzchak, that really was something that Esav, he really was Roy. It was because of that setup of Avram Yitzchak, they were both equally Roy to be the Yorish. Okay, but he develops it later. I want to start with a different theme he has first. He starts off with a different question in the parasha. He says like this. Yeah, anybody else has? You see where he says, and then he also says, like Chazal say, they can't both be strong at the same time. It's not possible that they're both going to be strong at the same time. So he says, why should that be? Why should it be that Edom has a special thing that they can't be powerful in when Yisrael is powerful? Okay. Loma yuchli of zeb Edom in a goyim. He says, so he wants to say that there's no, he says, v'chum ki mitzad she'ein goy roi she'yikne b'yakov. Yeah. All right, let's go over. You see where I want to start here. He says, "Omam b'masha amar l'nochach ishto." See that? It's like two or three paragraphs after that. So now he wants to describe. He says, "Yeah, he wants to go back to the to the beginning. He wants to explain the idea of Yisrael and Esav, Yaakov and Esav. He says you got to go back to the beginning of the parasha to see how the Torah describes all the events that are related to Yaakov and Esav. So he says like this: that's what says they both told us Yitzchok. Yaakov and Esav are both told us Yitzchok. So he says. He says, from the story of how of what happened, that'll show you what comes afterwards. V'omar Rishona. So the first event in the story of Esav and Yaakov is that the pregnancy of Rivka, the pregnancy of Rivka was not normal. You see that? Where is this? Kilo v'roso imo mehem al minag hativi. Because first of all, she was infertile. So the first thing that's unusual in the story of Yitzchok and of Yaakov and Esav is that Rivka was nakara, and it required tefillah for her to be able to become pregnant. So he says, but this is a question. It's a sofek upela. It's hard to understand. It's an astounding thing. He says that Rivka. He says Rivka didn't just fall by chance to Yitzchak. Right? She was the woman She was the woman that was pointed out by Hashem. In other words, he had the story with Eliezer, and he had the whole event, and he did the test, and it was like a hashgacha that he came to Rivka that first time. So it wasn't just a woman that Yitzchak met by chance. It was really, you see, Yad Hashem in the story, right? And it was right next to the Eich Somach Legoro Yitzchak Akedo Isha Akara. How's it possible that he goes from the Akeda and he gets to an Akara? Because it would seem that if there's a woman that Hashem is selecting for Yitzchak, she shouldn't be an Akara. Why is this? Why is it that she's an Akara? That's a bad thing. So he says, "Ki e efsha sheyushav bezeh." Elamasha Amara was saying the Zechron of Levracha. He says, "There's no way to answer this question except for what Chazal say in Yevamos." She Hashem Yisborach Misave Letfilosam Shel Tzadikim. So he says, Hashem desires the tefillah of the tzaddikim. Ki bazeh yikorveim elav. He says, with the tefillah, they become closer to God. L'mashin es acher ha-nefesh imbaro. They unify, as they are concentrated on the borei. So he's saying that was the hashgacha. In other words, it's not like the hashgacha picked out Rivka and she had a psul. So if a shatkan sets you up and the woman's akara, that's not something you would thank the shatkan for. So here you have he's saying Hashem pointing out to Eliezer the right woman and she's an akara. So he says that what is it? It must be that the only way to explain it, he says, is through that chazal. That was part of her development. That was not an accident. It's not an accident that she was an akara. It was something that causes her to go into tefillah. And that's what it means that Hashem is nis'aveh.
Is that why the other Ima or?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is that Gemara talk about all the Imas? I think so. So that's what you're saying. That's part of the idea. That's part of the plan. That the tefillah is makariv her to makariv the person to Hashem. Now he says like this. But what does it mean lenochach ishto? What does it mean that Yitzchak was mispalas as lenochach ishto? Right? So he says, Chazal say that what? What does it mean? That Rivka was davening on one side. Right? Rivka was davening on one side and Yitzchak was on the other side. Right? And Yitzchak was answered and not her. So he says, but should have said, Vayatiru Yitzchak and Rivka. Should have said, They both were davening. Why say only him? Oval ulai lamash lomash hiskir nis aser lo velo lo stam tfilosa velo hiskir beferish. He says, okay, look at this. He says, what does it mean lenochach ishto? What does it mean lenochach ishto? Right, like across from her. He says, He says al derech pshat echshov bo inyan. He says, I'm going to tell you something on derech pshat. It's an interesting point. He says ki hamishtane v'im yishtane b'derech pela. It's a little difficult. That if somebody changes, now she was an akara, right? So now he says like this: if somebody changes in an astounding way, in a miraculous kind of a way, Yuchan Rishona Lidovar Asher Yishtana Elov. So he's saying like this, that first it has to be prepared for the change that is for the thing that she's changing, that you're changing to. Okay, what does that mean? It means like this. Lo she ya'atek elo inyan hazeh etzlo b'teva. V'hu odenu el inyan orishon. It says, let's take this case. In other words, a woman is incapable of conceiving. There's some malady, right? There's something that's not functioning properly. So he says, you don't just go from that type of a situation to having a child. That's not the way it works. In other words, you don't. Let's say a woman has something wrong that she can't conceive. She doesn't remain with that problem and nonetheless conceive. You understand? First he says, the tefillah will cure the malady. You understand? In other words, right? So that's what he's saying. That's what it means, l'nochach ishto. So we want to say the pshat. L'nochach ishto means that Yitzchak was mispalel that Rivka should be healed. You understand? It was about her. Means say that he wasn't just mispalel she should have a baby miraculously. A woman doesn't have the ability to conceive because of some. The doctor could probably give a good example, but some deformity, or let's say something's not functioning properly in the goof. So she's not. He's saying an idea in how a nace happens. Saying the nace is not going to happen, that she'll remain in that state with the deficiency and just conceive. Right? That's not the way it works. That would be a pella. That would be almost crazy, right? That would be almost crazy. So what happens is the deficiency is the problem is removed first, and then naturally she can conceive. It's not a miraculous conception.
Yeah, but it's still a miraculous healing. What's the difference?
It's a good question.
Isn't it? It's like along the lines of like that when God is nisim, he does it like derech teva. Like he's not
right.
Going to just.
That's right.
Like meaning he does it through, like he does it, in, it makes it look like a natural thing.
Either that would be like an absurdity to say that you this, have something that stops giving birth.
Right.
But He says
Kilu Tomar Ki Rivka Odeno Mizgar Rishon. It's like saying that Rivka was in her original condition. And with those very kalim, and was the very. In her original state that made it impossible for her to conceive, kiblo hayrayim v'yolda, she became pregnant and gave birth. There's ain inyan kain. That's not the way it works. Oval l'tfilas Yitzchak heichin Hashem mizga. Says what was the tfila through tfila of Yitzchak, Hashem prepared her condition. And now she was able to conceive. But Dan is asking you a question. What's the difference? Is somewhere something is changing, right? Yeah. But it's a good question. The simple question, without getting into really getting into the issue, just avoiding it a little bit, is that people do spontaneously get better from things. People do spontaneously get better. And there are cases, and this is not known why. It happens. But nobody ever has a baby without having the physiological capability of having a baby. So in a simple answer, I would say that One is working within the lines of nature. Now, there are spontaneous, even with cancers, horrible things. It's a very small percentage, but there's spontaneous remissions. Nobody knows why. And now, so that you can't say is out of nature. Can't say that's intrinsically out of nature. But for a woman without a uterus to have a baby, this is not possible.
Spontaneous things, aren't those more a case where the person somehow contracts a disease and then it goes away, or let's say like you break your arm.
But we don't know what the cause of her. We don't know what the cause of her infertility was. Don't know what it was. I mean, but apparently, it's something that. But the point I'm making is, and the reason why I said I'm avoiding your question slightly is because I'm just saying at this point we could say like this, that certain types of nisim don't occur. Nisim that in the way it goes you know, aside for like, I mean, Yamsuf, that type of stuff. But in the normal course even with tzaddikim, apparently, through tefillah, the type of nisim he's saying that occur are the ones that can be also understood in a natural way. But for a woman to become pregnant when she does not have the physiological capability, even by Sara, it said, so she returned to her old youth. She returned to her, apparently she menstruated again, right? Rashi says that she was Mitame the Isa, right? So even by Sara, she was very, very aged, but her body renewed. Now that's also not normal. But apparently that is less of a deviation than a woman who has no menstrual cycle to have a baby. That's just impossible. There's not even a connection between you can't even call it in any natural sense a baby that was born. I mean, it's just like something else. I mean, you know, the famous fairy tale. But right, that's not the way it happens. That's not the way it works. Because I mean, it's just a preposterous thing. That's a preposterous thing. But I mean, that's not a baby anymore. I mean, it's not what we call a baby that's born of mortal parents. I mean, that's just not what it is.
When you say it's a preposterous thing, you don't mean that. That it's not possible. You don't mean it's not possible. You just mean that that's not. God. I mean.
Well, I'm not saying that. That's right. I mean, we say tchias amesim will happen, right. And that's nothing. There's nothing further from nature than that, right? But it's like say when you can't be mispalel, like the Gemara says in Bracha says that if your wife is pregnant, let's say it's past a certain time, so you can't be mispalel anymore that she should have a boy. Of course, it's set. It's not going to change at that point, right? So everyone says, what about Dina? Because as the Medrash says that Dina was mispalo and turned over to a girl, that the Leah was mispalo. So the Gemara says that's nisim. But what are you asking for when you mispalo? Aren't you asking for some hashgacha, for a certain hashgacha? So apparently you're not allowed to ask for some type of you're not allowed to ask for a nes nifla. I mean, why is Leah allowed to? That's a good question. But you're not allowed to be mispalel. Apparently he's saying you can't be mispalel for something that would be a nes nifla. I mean it's like the Gemara says, a guy comes into a town and there's a fire. He says, I hope it's not my Davin's mispalel, it's not his house. It's tefillah shav. It is. It's not gonna be reversed. But the Gemara does say that by Leah that the baby was changed from a girl to a boy to a girl. So the Gemara says that's my nisim. But you can't be mispal apparently for that type of a nes. Can't be mispal for that kind of a nes. But something that's within nature, you can be mispal for. As long as it works within nature, you can be mispal like a remission. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, he is saying that, that's what I'm saying, it's not an impossible thing. It's not an impossible thing. You can have tremendous nisim, but he's saying the natural way that hashgacha works, he's just talking about the normal way hashgacha works. The normal way hashgacha works is going to minimize the nace. So it's minimizing the nace for the woman to become healed, which is something that happens, and then to conceive. Not to conceive without the ability to conceive. Yeah.
Maybe not such a great question, but when we approach the Borei Olam and Tefillah, why would we ask? Can we define exactly why you ask for something that's normal as opposed to...
Apparently you don't have a right. Apparently you don't have a right to ask for Shinoi Teva. Apparently you don't have a right to ask for his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Like raise it on behalf of the person who's asked.
It would seem so. You don't have a right to ask for his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. reveal your glory to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So he said there are certain diseases or something where it can just disappear, basically, right? So let's say a person has a disease a terminal disease, these things just don't disappear, something like that, right?
Right.
Would you be allowed to be misfollowed for that?
It's a good question. I don't want to answer that question. It's a good question. But I mean, I'll tell you one thing. If a guy loses his arm in an accident, he can't be misfollowed, his arm can grow back. I mean, can you misfollow the arm can grow back? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would seem according to this that you couldn't do that, but I'm talking about, like a terminal illness.
Well, how do we know? Not only medicine knows.
Yeah, how do we know it's really terminal?
Yeah, aren't all illnesses like a foreign thing? So theoretically, you could go back to the norm.
Right.
I don't know about that. I mean, there are certain diseases.
That's not shot like in the other. Okay, next like this. Yeah.
Like maybe if you're born without something, it's not gonna just appear. Like you know, like let's say like that. But like if you have something, you know, like let's say like a cancer is known to grow and not to disappear.
I'm saying, right. He's making a case.
I'm saying, like, let's say a person has AIDS.
Pay for the successful
human genome project. You don't know.
You don't know what?
That's a good question. I mean, the guy has a virus. Well, he could be responsible that they can find a cure. I mean, they're working on it. They're spending millions of dollars, billions of dollars.
That would be the natural.
I don't think that's so much a cure as prevention. I mean, they don't.
Well, they're looking for a cure. They're looking for a cure.
They're not just looking for prevention. They do want a cure.
Prevention is easy.
Well, I don't know.
Really? Once you have it, they've passed prevention already. Okay. Now it's like this. He says, V'chol zeh omnon be'em tzorus mashpiyim. Hidrich Hashem beinenu veinu. So he says like this, that Hashem influences between us and Him through intermediaries, through emtzos. Okay, he says like this. He says because it appears that when something here changes. Okay, something on earth changes, it demands that there's a change in the heavens as well. Okay? Now this is based on their idea that the heavens influence the earth. Alright? Their scientific idea that the heavens have an influence on the earth. He says, and that's what the Chachamim say. They say, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaUmah Ad Shenifra Mei Eloheha Techila. That Hashem does not punish a nation until their power is punished first. Okay? There's a lot of psukim that say this. He goes through certain psukim.
Power?
Power. What does that mean? He says like this. Well, that's what the word Eloha means. I mean, Elohim means power, like a judge. He says, "V'zeh yireh matmiya ma'od." He says, that seems strange. It seems strange that when Hashem wants to punish a nation here on earth, He has to punish something in the heavens first. He has to, what's the connection? Right? So he says...
The heavens doesn't mean non-physical, it just means...
That
is that what
means
he's
physical.
Implying?
What?
Oh, okay. The power is heavenly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Their idea of the heavens influencing the earth.
So is it a mechanism for influencing theirs? Is it to punish the...
Okay, so he said like this. It's interesting thing, because it's similar to what we're discussing with Koheles. He said like this. Im ha'iyan ha'tov, with a good investigation, yimotze michuyev, you'll see that it's necessary. That this idea is necessary. Why? He says, v'hu ki ha'efshori... He says, that which is considered possible, when you really investigate the causes, you'll see it was necessary. Okay, for instance, Ki ilu tomar, ki ha'edim ha'odim ha'lachim kvar olu, let's say, I'm sorry, I skipped that. Ki ilu tomar she'yiridas ha'motar b'yom mochar dover efshari. So let's say today. So today we'll say, it's possible... that it will rain tomorrow. Right? It's possible that it will rain tomorrow. Alright? Now he says, but if you really investigate all of the causes, right, and you say that the wet moisture went, the steam went up, and the air is in the right condition to send it back down, then Yoshev Zeha Efshem Mechoyer, then that which we called possible would be definite. In other words, we only, we were talking about this when we were discussing the pasuk that where Shlomo said that the Chochma is Rechoka Mimeni, right? And then he said, not only do I not know what's going to happen, but I don't even understand what really happened in the past. So he said there's a certain type of knowledge where you can't predict, but you can explain what happened. So that's what he's talking about over here. He's saying that there are certain things that we call them Efsha because we don't really know all the causes. So we call them possible. But if you really understood the causes, you would know that it has to be. Like a coin slip. If you had supercomputers measuring all the velocity and the rotation and the wind resistance and all those things, you'd know exactly how it's going to land. Okay, but it's not really a chance. It had to come out that way. Every time you flip it, it had to come out that way. There's no time in the air where it's undetermined, right?
No such thing as probability.
Well, not in the gross world.
With enough facts.
But it's a machlokus in the subatomic world. But I think everyone agrees in the big things. It's just the factors are so complicated that we're more capable of dealing with it through probability. But that's not really how it works. That's good. The difference between, didn't we discuss this? The difference between, I forgot there was they use that as an example. The difference between probability as a cause and probability just as a way of figuring out what the outcome's going to be. You could use statistics and probability to figure out what the outcome's going to be. But you wouldn't say the cause is probability. Yeah.
Well, that means that everything's set because all the factors are already in place. So
that's right.
But how can you be solved for anything? Because it's the
how
same
thing. What?
Anything you say is just shvo shav. Or anytime you say something should happen, it's already determined.
That's good. That's what we were saying before, that you really are always asking for a nace. But you can't ask for a nace that is apparently a shinoi from teva. That would be like a giloi shchina. You know what I'm saying?
Is it like the thing of, if you don't know how much wheat you have, you can guess how much it is, but if you already know, you can't ask for more?
Right. Before you go your modade, you say, yiratzon, that the medid, that it should be a good measure. But
so every time you're mispala, you really mispala for a nace? I guess if you're requesting something.
I guess so.
What else would you be?
You'd be mispahal to be under a certain hashgacha. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a nace. It could be that you should be in the right place at the right time. Or you should not be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
But
right?
Then you're asking for a change.
Yeah, you're asking
so
for a change.
That would be
but that's not necessarily a nace. It could be something in you that... I mean, it doesn't mean that teva was changed. That's a good question.
What?
You have to track it down. You mean, would you?
No, what do you mean? Because, I mean, if you weren't Miss Ball, then you would go how you normally would go.
Like, you become a better person instead of going
to the only way it's
going to
change is
something.
Exactly,
and
exactly.
Everybody
decides
to go to the basement.
Exactly. All right, it's a good question. It's a good question.
How did that fit in?
Let's see. So it's just like this. He says. Now he says the aim monosim came lebaliyeh motor mitacharetzah. He says now there's no way that it shouldn't rain. It's impossible that it shouldn't rain. If you really knew all of the factors, it's not a 30% chance. When they say it's 30% chance of rain tomorrow, it's not true. It's definite. It's either going to rain or it's not going to rain. It's always 50%. It's either going to rain or not going to rain. No, it's definite. But they don't know the causes. But if you knew the causes, it really would be definite. You would know if it, you would know what it would be. So he says like this. So he says, therefore, he says, yeah, he says, and if it wouldn't rain, if all those factors were there, it wouldn't rain, that would be an ace. So he says, Ella, he says, when you change the cause that is responsible, Bishanos Hadover HaMechayev, Meshel HaMechayev, Ahu Od Mechayev, you keep going back to the causes. Each cause has a different cause, right? You keep tracing it back. What caused this cause? Keep going back to the higher causes, right? Then it must be that the Elyon has to be changed. The Elyon has to be changed. Because they held it was influence from the heavens. But not a spooky influence. Not a spooky influence. It was some natural idea. Like I mentioned a dozen times. Probably more. That they thought that the moon influenced water. They didn't understand the tides were gravity. They didn't have an idea of gravity. Right? I know it's hard for you guys to think of a world without the idea of gravity, but there were millennia where that was the case. So you could probably do it for a few minutes. But so how does the tides, what's responsible for the tides? Influence of the moon. In what way? I don't know. But there's an influence. How does the magnet attract iron? It has an influence on iron. It has an influence on iron. And that's like the Medrash says, nothing grows on this earth without a mazel saying grow. Meaning to say, everything, they were looking for causes. They were looking for causes. And they developed a system of causes based on the influences from the heavens. Yes?
But if you were to apply that reasoning to our science today...
And by the way, I don't know if that makes any more or less sense than gravity, by the way. The idea of influence.
But yeah. If you were to apply that to our science today, in which we've ascribed everything to be a constant force, then the thing that you'd end up changing, wouldn't that end up, you'd have to go all the way up to God?
Constant force? I don't know what the constant force is.
That we say that gravity is a
universal rule. We don't hold from gravity anymore. Gravity's gone.
We don't?
Gone.
No. I'm saying if you apply this logic to our science, then when we're being misfollowed, aren't we praying that God changes?
Now, our science, it's much easier in our science because there are subatomic phenomena that nobody understands how they work. And they're random. Random things. Well, it seems they really are random. I mean, well, that's a... But,
So then you're saying that when we would be misfollowed according to our science, we'd be misfollowed that the photons operate
in a different
way?
If you look in the Ramban, we don't have to work out how God will do it. That's not our problem. But, but the point is that there are many, many, many unexplained causes. It's not different than. But as a matter, that's like the Ramban says. The Ramban in the Chumash has a lot of times he mentions the Sar and the Sar Shemayim, and he says, why did Hashem set it up in a way that the heavens influence the earth? Why was that the system? So he says, for the very reason that nature shouldn't have to be changed directly. Now the Sar can be changed. That's a slighter. You really shouldn't laugh. It's a much slighter change. Now, as he's saying, there is an idea that Teva should be fixed, but there should be some aspect that has a certain character that's not set. Even in nature, it's not set. And Nisim, and that's in order that Nisim can occur without being a Shinoi Teva every time. Right?
Why create it that way? Why not just make nature a direct result of the constant Shinoi Teva? Because then you wouldn't have
why have nature?
Yeah, to deal with that question, or it's just why?
Well, that's obviously, I mean, then why have nature at all? Then everything's
possible.
Then man doesn't have Bechir anymore.
Right.
So the Ramban is, there is nature, and he left certain aspects of nature to be yet to be determined?
Correct, the Sar, the influences of the heavens. So if the influences are changed slightly, things will be different here. Like they thought if, let's say, it's going to be a rainy season or a dry season. What's that going to determine? How the constellation that affects the climate is facing us. So that could be slightly changed. That could be slightly altered, say.
By God.
That's right. And that's different than if the system were set up that everything here would have to be directly intervened with.
So the system was set up originally so that God could interact with the world one step removed?
Exactly. Not just in terms of his galus, but in terms of the system, that the system should have a certain consistency. It shouldn't have to be... It should be able to be manipulated without having to be broken.
So it's the same system.
That's right.
I don't understand, like, logic how it flows, that, like, if it changes here, so then it has to change...
Oh, so that's what he's going on to now. Up there?
Yeah, and then also, doesn't he have to... If he's going to trace every cause, won't he eventually have to go to God?
Unless they could be changed constantly.
And then what is he going to do with
Well, no, but that's not a problem.
I mean, if he's just saying that you go
yeah,
to the highest
require,
cause...
Yeah, it does require some...
So then eventually he's going to have to go to God, and then he's not going to say God changes. So I just don't understand why he's stopping at, like, this cause.
But the Ratzon Hashem is the very first cause. There's no question about it. That is definitely the first cause of the Nates. Right? But he's saying that cause will not jump all ahead of all the other causes and just change that end thing. It'll first make it muchan. Now it's just like Rivka was not just given a baby, right? First it was made muchan. First she was prepared for it physically. So too he's saying when Hashem is going to punish, we're going to try to punish a nation, right? He says, first they have to be muchan, and that means that their sar, whatever exactly that means, has to first be changed so that it's not giving them a certain support.
He's going to explain now. Why.
That's what he's saying next. But he wants to show you, his point is like this. He wants to show you that Hashem works within nature. It's within nature. And if there's a certain thing that demands a result, if the weather pattern demands rain tomorrow, then the nace will not be that it won't rain, even though all those conditions are there. You understand? That would be, the nace is going to be that the causes that were making it, the conditions that were going to make it necessary to rain will change. Now, what's going to change those? Those very conditions are there because of other conditions. You know what I mean? It's a domino effect. You're going to have to keep going back until the final determinant, which set all the other determinants in motion, and that's the one that's going to be changed. It's like the famous butterfly effect.
And how is that?
So the changes is in the Ratzon Hashem like that. So.
But that's he's talking about nature. He wants to know what's changing in nature. He's saying in the world, what's changing? So he's saying it's not working that in the world, everything is demanding a certain result and the result just doesn't happen. That's not the way it happens. That's not the way the nature works. It's not that all laws of physics demand a certain result and the result just doesn't happen. He's saying there will be some manipulation much, much further away from this particular event that will make this not necessary. You understand? As opposed to preventing the necessary, right? Working in the framework of the result, God works in the framework of the causes and changes the causes that would have made this necessary. You understand?
I don't get how that doesn't lead back to Hashem changing.
No. He's talking about nature. He's talking about what happens in the world. Of course it's the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem is the prime mover. But he doesn't have to change himself. We're talking about that there are laws that were set up. And these laws are governing the world. So now, when Hashem wants, now when there's a certain result that's going to come about from this law, from the way the world is going, how does that result stop? Right? So he's saying you've got to look at the system and see that this has a, that this result is determined by A. A is determined by B. B is determined by C, and so on and so on and so on. Right? So the nace is not going to be that everything is in its place and all the causes are there. And the demand, but the demanded result doesn't happen.
So it's not defined laws of nature.
It's going to go, exactly. It'll go back up the chain and change those causes.
How far back will it go?
To the sar. It'll go all the way back to the influence, to those very things that are not set, That's what he calls the Elyonim. That's what's telling you the Ramban says. There are like these Malachim. They're like Malachim.
So is there like one?
That are the Elyonim. They are Malachim. Malachim are not set. They don't have their own fixed Teva. They just do Ratzon Hashem. You understand? So that's not a change in nature that a Malach should be changed. But in today, you could say it's in the probabilistic nature of reality. Yeah.
So, like, you would say that it's only that the... Like, for some reason, I was thinking that. So, the more that we know of the conditions, right, that cause a certain thing, that correct. The farther back it would have to be changed.
Correct. Correct.
But there will be a point that we can't know. There has to be a point that we can't know in order for there to be something.
Like, why do we stop at the...
At the sar?
Yeah.
Because that is not part of nature. That itself is out of nature. That itself is a separate bria that causes things, that
we
sets
can,
up.
We don't know. Okay.
That is the separate creation that has none of it, that is a, like a malach. It does the Ratzon Hashem.
Like, there's this tsar or whatever, there's malach, that's the only thing that always changes? Or do we just say that it's just before of what the conditions that we know?
Well, he's saying, we don't say what happens is based on our knowledge. I mean, we don't say, because I know this far, therefore the change happened here. He's saying, in concept, what he's saying is that if the cause has a cause, that cause left to change.
Okay.
Right? You might not know all the causes. But whether you know it or not, that doesn't mean it exists. But he's saying the idea is the cause will all the causes, all the preceding causes will be altered.
I understand what he's saying, but didn't just for a nace to occur, didn't the Ratzon Hashem have to change?
That's a separate question. That's a completely separate question of. How could that's like the Aristotelian questions on how could the world be created? Creating the world is a change. That's a separate question. And why is Ratzon Hashem not considered a change? But the Ram talks about the Moran Ruchim. That is Ratzon. He says that's the very idea of Ratzon. That it happens. That it happens and it doesn't happen. Otherwise, it would not be called a Ratzon. It would just be like a constant thing. So that's not called a change, if that's its very nature of Ratzon. Yeah.
So this nth cause, right?
Yes, exactly, the nth cause.
that's influenced by the Ratzon of God, right?
That's right.
So is that a physical cause or a non-physical cause?
Well, in his system... In his system, it is. Let's see if we can finish. We'll see if we can bring it to our system. He says, "Lazer Omru, Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Mei Umach Nifra Mei Elohei Tchila." So he's very interesting the way he puts it. So he says, "Kihem Berov Yavdu LeMashpiayim." Says that most nations will worship that which does in fact influence them. In other words, he's trying to explain why is it called their God? Why is it called their God? Right? Which would imply there's some reality to their God. So he's saying no. He's saying there is a reality to an influence. Right? There is that he holds is true. That if you live in a certain region of the world, that region is governed by a certain star. Whatever you want to call it. Certain. Why do you look like that, Zaldan?
Well,
what?
This is not how it works now.
Right. That was the idea of nature. That was the idea of nature.
I understand, but why would they presume that it goes by humanistic division? Like the, a nation. And I'd say that
I said a place of land. I said a person, a part of the world. I said
but
a part of the world.
Lands, aren't they determined by people when I decide that a nation ends? What about Russia? That place is huge. I could say that's determined by five stars.
I'm saying every place has a certain influence over it, right? Let's. I'm just starting very simple.
Okay.
You are leaping ahead and projecting a lot of things onto what I'm saying. All I said, and I very carefully said, every place, it has its own influence. How big the place is, that's a separate question. How do you define a place? I'm not saying how you define a place. But apparently every place has a certain influence. A region of the world. Has its own climate, it has its own agriculture, it has its own characteristics. And generally, nations would congregate in different places. So they did take notice of their mashpia. They did take notice of the thing that influenced them. And they made a terrible mistake because they decided to worship it. But they were not wrong that there was something influencing this region. You understand? So that's why he's saying it's called their god, because it's that they chose it as their god, but in reality it is the thing that is influencing the region.
So,
you understand? That's again. He says, and if their mashpia is really strengthening them, then, it's interesting, he says, then, im kein lo techolish yod ha tom cho machzik. So he says, if those things that give strength to Mitzrayim is not first changed, it's an interesting thing. Saying unless the support system is first disabled, they won't be totally destroyed. Apparently saying, not that they can't, obviously, not that they can't have a magefa come out and wipe out people, but he's saying again, that's not the way Akash Baruch Hu works in the world in general. And it'll go back to the cause. Go back to the causes. It won't make it that while the thing that demands that they stay strong exists, they get weak nonetheless. That would be like making it rain when none of the conditions are there. Yeah. So let's just end off on this one thing. So then he wants to say like this. He says like this. So now there's an idea of the influence and of changing the condition of the thing. I'm just going to paraphrase the rest. But he's saying like this. He's saying there is also now an idea. This is a hard idea, hard to understand. He says there's also an idea that the one who's being mispalel, and he's the cause now of this new series of causes. Right, the mispalel, someone's mispalel for someone else, he's now really being mispalel that these series of causes should be changed, right? He says that one who's mispalel is like an intermediary in terms of these influences. He says that it's better if he can be close to the one that he's trying to be mispalel for. It's better. He says that's like by Yaakov, Kachen Noi Live Avarchem. He wanted to bring Ephraim Menashe close to him. He says, Zemur ki ashefa muchan lemizborech beemtzos amavorech vamispalel. The influence is ready to give its blessing through the one who's mispalel. Ulezer roi sheyikarev elav b'makom. That's why he should be close to him. O yidobig bo, or hold on to him, if it's possible. Ulechein amru ki Yitzchak heti lenochach ishto. That's why he says that he was mispalel across from his wife. Kidei sheyichavin eleha daito yoser. He says that was part of the idea. that Yitzchak wanted to daven in a place where he could see Rivka. Because he says, then he would be able to be mechaven more. V'tasig shefa yitakin gufa v'yotziena mistuchun ha'akaras. V'yitzlach zeh v'yosu yosu krova mimenu mokom. He says, it's better for the mispalel. It's an interesting klal he's saying. It's better when you're mispalel for somebody if you can be close to them. He says, k'dei sheyichavein eleha daito yoser, should be able to be more mechaven for them. It's an interesting thing. And that's why he says that l'zeh emida nocho lakrive elav. That's why he stood her across from him. That she should be close to him. In that type of tefillah, it's not like Yaakov. Bracha, apparently, you can have the person right there. But tefillah is omen Hashem, he can't be that close to her. So, lenochach ishto, she was as close as she could be, so that his kavana, so that he could see her, and he could be mechavim better for her. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing, how he's trying to tie this into this idea.
They were facing opposite, though, weren't they?
Apparently not. He's saying Lenochach doesn't necessarily mean that. Yeah, but it doesn't mean which way they're facing.
Yeah, they're facing.
Let's take a look at that part. I mean, it's he seems like he's saying something a little more than just Kavana. It's a funny thing. Sounds like he's saying it helps it be Chal more.
It's a strange idea.
But that's what he wants to say. That he was Mispalel for her. That's what he means Lenochach Ishto. That he was Mispalel for her conditions to change. Not just Stam being misspelled for a baby. It was about her.
Maybe you could say this, since it's not your conditions, it's their conditions.
I'm just going to see what
it is. Oh.